Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Mios, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Valdez, play the music. Got to play it throughout the show. Been a long time since we've been able to talk about a 10-win team, let alone a 10-5 team. That goes back to 1991 for Washington. Join us right now for a colleague check-in to talk a little bit more about it. Host of the Grant Danny Show on 106.7 The Fan. You can listen to later today is our pal Grant Paulson. What's up, GP?
How are you, fellas? Good morning.
GP, what's up, buddy?
I saw your tweet, and I just kind of retweeted it about where Washington can finish, depending on what happens here tonight, what happens here the last 2 weeks with the Washington Commanders, but it's not a foregone conclusion that they're the 7 seed, right?
No, it's not. It's actually looking decent that they could potentially be the 6 seed if they could beat Atlanta this coming weekend now, Sunday Night Football, 6 days away, because the Packers, who are likely to dominate the Saints tonight, they're massive favorites.
Yep.
14.5 points. New Orleans is without everybody just about.
Yep.
But next week, the Packers play the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And so you look at that matchup, that's a 13-win team that's better than them probably on paper. They'll be underdogs in that game. If Washington, a 4.5-point favorite at home, basically if what's supposed to happen happens, they would go into a Week 18 game against the Cowboys, controlling their own destiny to be the 6 seed, which would mean you don't have to go to Philly or to Minnesota, and you would get potentially Atlanta or the Rams, which is a game changer.
Yep, it's a big difference. There's so many big games here in the next couple weeks for many different teams, many different reasons. All right, just give us your thoughts on, I mean, there were so many big plays yesterday, so many key moments.
What did you think about the 4th-and-11 call? Because that was a huge play and decision.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of ridiculous in the moment, to be completely honest with you. Look, anybody who listens to our show knows I am team 4th down and go. I mean, I just think minus territory, that's the way the league is trending on 4th and short and should be. I think with Jaden Daniels, who is a lot like Lamar Jackson in the sense that if you look at Baltimore over the years, 4th and 1, 4th and 2 or fewer, it's close to automatic. I mean, it's as close as it's going to get with read option. It's just so hard for teams to defend both a heavy plunging running back and a quarterback who can keep the ball and skirt around the edge. So I would go for 4th downs all the time. But 4th and 11 in that situation didn't make a lot of sense to me, only because I think if you punt the ball there with Kenny Pickett at quarterback, you make the Eagles go 90 yards. You know, it's just a higher percentage than maybe getting a 4th and 11. But they got Jaden Daniels, man, and he can make plays, and he certainly did. That was an unbelievable moment where, you know, watching it from the press box, the play they called was dead. I mean, a lot of the times I think, you know, their passing game especially, I don't know if Kingsbury gets enough credit for scheme. I think they get guys open and they don't have great receivers. And so a lot of the times you see in these big plays and they're hitting open receivers. But on that particular play, it was dead on arrival. There's nobody. And from my view, you're going, oh, my God, this play is a wash. Mm-hmm. And then Daniels just kind of comes through bodies like, you know, a surfer through a wave and then makes a couple guys miss at the sticks and keeps on running. That was one of those, the call was maybe fine but didn't work. The play was dead, and Daniels made them right.
Yep. Yeah, the safety, I can't remember what safety it was for the Eagles. Looked like he had a shot at him a couple yards short of the first down, but he kind of slowed up. I don't know if he thought that Daniels was going to slide there or what, but he kind of slowed up. So he kind of allowed Jaden to get an extra 2 or 3 yards. But I don't think that there's any other coach in the league that would go for 4th and 11. It's one thing
maybe
if you're
Dan Campbell.
Well, maybe, but even in that situation, I'm not so sure. But if
I was just trying to set up Grant, I like his Dan Campbell.
Yeah, yeah. If it's one thing if there's 5 minutes left in the game and you're down by a couple scores, but it's end of the third quarter and you're down by a couple scores. It's not like you're completely out of the game yet. It's just really ballsy to go for a 4th and 11 there.
Well, I just want to thank JP, man. I've always loved that guy, brother. You know I go for 4th downs, man. We got a culture here, guys. We're going to do it together, brother.
But, yes, I agree. I thought that was Dan Quinn got off the bus, I think, yesterday from the Gaylord at the stadium and decided I got kicker problems and I'm trying to keep up with the best team in the conference maybe, and we're going to go for 4th downs. They went for one earlier in the half, and you kind of knew, okay, we're at a point now. I think remember the first series of the game in minor territory, they went for a 4th and 1.
Yeah, they went 4 and out. Yeah.
Exactly. But I love that call, to be honest with you. But it was pretty clear to me philosophically, like that was kind of the idea. But 4th and 11, you know, I might have just been, okay, here's the ball game. Here's our best shot. Like, we're not giving them the ball back. Maybe it's also, frankly, an indictment on Pickett and the Eagles' offense where you feel like you could give them the ball there, and it's not a guarantee that they're going to get points. Because one of the things that's being slept on, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this at some point today, but, you know, Saquon Barkley went for 109 yards in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. From the second quarter on, they basically said, all right, Kenny Pickett's at quarterback.
Beat us.
We're not losing to Saquon Barkley. Yep. And so he ran 20 times for 43 yards from the end of the first quarter to the end of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they completely bottled him up, and I think they just didn't really respect the Eagles' offense that much from that point forward, it seemed like.
Pickett also didn't get help. Pickett actually could have won the game, dropped from DeVonta Smith, but he had the Barkley drop. He had a drop from A.J. Brown. Like, he actually put them in position to win the game. Another underrated thing, which a caller brought up, and then I went back and looked at it, the Commanders had great field position on most of their drives. Luke McCaffrey did a good job. And their kicker, I mean, I'm so used to kickers just blasting it to the back of the end zone or back in the end zone.
Yeah.
Their kicker, I mean, Washington starting at the 40, the 43, even the last drive, and it was helped by a penalty. They started on their 43.
Yeah, their first two drives, their average field position was about the midfield stripe. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have anything to show for it, obviously. In fact, that was maybe my biggest takeaway of yesterday, honestly. And the reason why, you know, I think it was my favorite Daniels performance. It was maybe my favorite offensive performance, in addition to the fact that it came against the number one defense, and the numbers in the end, 5 touchdowns, whatever, they are what they are. But that was a game that started horribly for them on offense. You know, they had 8 plays and 8 yards, and Brian Robinson had lost 2 fumbles on his first 6 carries for a total of 9 yards. And Daniels, I mean, people will forget, was off, right? I mean, in the first few throws, like, not accurate. It just seemed like it was going to be a blowout loss. Now, obviously, the Hurts injury changed everything, but to be down 14-0 and the Eagles had the ball, you know, the Frankie Louvu interception completely changed the game to get them back within a possession. Mm-hmm. But I think that was probably, for me, what I liked so much about yesterday is, for the most part this season, you know, when they've won, they've come out and they've just looked sharp. They've been good. A lot of their wins were blowouts against bad teams. This was a, man, this is ugly. This could be a blowout loss, and it went the other way. But I completely agree with you on Pickett, too. I thought he actually inevitably did make a few plays, and he got let down by his guys.
Yeah, not many people are talking about that interception that got them back in the game because
oh, huge.
I mean, it was deep in Philly's territory. I mean, it was just a huge momentum shifter. But again, in the second half, like you said, Washington's defense said, all right, Kenny Pickett, you going to beat us? All right, do it. We're not letting Barkley go for another, 75 yards in the second half. And they were able to hold them to field goals, four of them in the second half, as opposed to Washington scoring touchdowns, which was the biggest difference. They outscored them 22-6 in the fourth. Jalen Hurts is in there. That's a different story because they would score touchdowns on a couple of those possessions instead of just kicking field goals.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think two things can be true, right? I think it's, I saw a lot of like Commanders fans saying yesterday, like, I don't want to hear that if Jalen Hurts played, this game would have been different. Well,
it would have been a factor, yes.
Yeah, you don't want to hear reality, but it also doesn't matter, right? He wasn't there.
You got to take advantage of it, right?
Absolutely, and they did, and they're 10-5, and they did it in dramatic fashion. I mean, they came back from down 13 in the fourth quarter, something they hadn't done. I think I saw a stat yesterday. It was something like 98 straight games for them when they were down by 13 in the fourth quarter that late in the game they had lost. I mean, it still just doesn't really happen. If you're the Eagles, I think you're also wondering what the heck happened defensively. I mean, this was the number one defense in the NFL, and they were giving up huge chunks. Now, Daniels deserves and gets a ton of credit. I thought he was spectacular, not only with his feet, but I mean, the touchdown throw he made to McLaurin yesterday was one of the best throws he's made all year. If you look at where he released the ball, throwing it outside over the correct shoulder, McLaurin made even a better catch than that. That's a catch of the year candidate for Washington in terms of the ball tracking ability. But if you're the Eagles, you're the number one defense in the league, and you're protecting almost a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. They have a score where they have 12 on the field, and Alamide freaking Zaccheaus is still 15 yards away from any defender, and then jukes two guys to get into the end zone. They had another touchdown I saw Sirianni say in the presser where they had 10 on the field apparently. Like, I don't know what was going on there, but
wow.
That would be a tough way to wake up this morning, because remember, the Eagles were playing for the one seed.
Yep.
Like, they now have a 5% chance at a bye and control of their own destiny. So it's not like they were just playing to win the division and have to wait a week. I mean, that was a significant game for them in their playoff hopes, and they let it slip away.
Talking to Grant Paulson, who you can listen to with our pal Danny coming up at 2 o'clock right here on 106.7 The Fan. Let's talk about some concerns, though, moving forward. I just went back and looked. Against the Saints, the running game outside of Jaden Daniels, 24 carries, 71 yards. Against the Eagles, 15 carries, 32 yards. How concerning is the lack of the running game the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think it's one of their biggest issues right now, and I would say very concerning. I gave them a mulligan against New Orleans because they didn't have Tyler Biadasz at center, who's been terrific this year, and they were starting Michael Dieter backup. This was not that, though. This was just, they got manhandled up front. Now, the Eagles, if you wanted to, give them another excuse, you could say they're probably not playing the Eagles front in the playoffs, certainly.
Although they might.
they may very well. But week in and week out, if they were to play two or three playoff games or something and go on some wacky run, like, by and large, you're playing lesser opponents. So this is as tough a team to run the ball against as there's going to be. And we saw in the first game they couldn't run the ball either. So it's a bad matchup in that way, it would appear. But, yeah, it's a problem. I mean, if they're not able to run the ball, then you've got to go to quick game. Like, what happened yesterday, as amazing as it was by nature not sustainable, right? Like, you can't go down big. You're not going to come back in a frenzied way and win these games in a crazy fashion, more often than not. Most of the time you get the ball back down six with less than 4 minutes to go and you throw an interception, you don't still win that football game. Like,
right.
A lot of things happen that normally don't, right?
Right.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, the matchup's going to be important, ideally, if they got a team that wasn't as good stopping the run. But the reason it's so important for them is, and Jaden Daniels has made it okay because he's been their leading rusher for 2 weeks, but they got to stay ahead of the sticks. The difference, and Jaden Daniels has talked about this, Cliff's talked about this, the difference for this offense, when they are in third and manageable like they were for the second part of yesterday when they stayed on the field, and then that sets up either a conversion or a fourth and short that they can go for, and when they're behind the chains, is just astronomical because they are so dependent on Daniel's legs, you know, and generally speaking, when, you know, on 4th and 11 or 3rd and long, which he ripped off that long draw, you know, that becomes no longer a factor. It's him throwing the football. So I think it's the biggest concern. It's the biggest thing they got to figure out, other than maybe the kicking situation, which I just still don't have a lot of trust in. Remember, going into yesterday, if you take away when they got bailed out at the end of the third quarter against the Saints and got to re-kick, they were 1 for their last 5 in field goal attempts, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of these games down the stretch are going to come down to kicking. And I don't know how anyone could be confident right now in that situation.
I said earlier, I kind of give Lattimore a pass for yesterday because, you know, he's got to chase A.J. Brown all over the field. Now, look, A.J. Brown got his. He was targeted 15 times. He got 8 or 9 catches, scored a touchdown. Look, A.J. Brown is just pretty much uncoverable inside the 10 when he runs that quick slant. I mean, I don't know if there's many DBs that can cover him at all, but you know, he did have the back-to-back PIs, and then he had a third. But I think for the most part, he's certainly an upgrade. Now, here's the concern. He leaves the game with another hammy. I assume it's the same one. How do you think he played, first of all, and then are you concerned about the hamstring?
Well, I'm more bothered by the hamstring than I am his performance, to kind of go there first, right? Like, you need that guy on the field because when he left the field, Benjamin St. Juice came on and had to cover A.J. Brown. And on a 4th and passing, they, you know, 4th and 7, I think it was,
right. They
got it pretty easily because he was trailing A.J. Brown by several yards and then didn't make a tackle shy of the sticks that Lattimore had made earlier in the game to end a drive. Look, he played poorly. I mean, I don't think there's any debate about that. He gave up 68 yards on 3 PIs. He gave up another 70-plus covering him. But to your point, it's a really tough assignment.
Yeah.
Like, the hope there is, instead of the combined 140, maybe it's 75, 80 yards, right?
Yep.
But it's not like he's supposed to be perfect. Can you make plays to equal out some of what you're allowing? To me, I think of it, Bish, like baseball, where I know guys are going to strike out, right? Are you going to hit bombs too?
Yep.
And if you strike out 200 times or whatever and you hit 35 home runs, I'll live with it. He made a huge stop, if you remember, on like a 3rd and 5, short of the 6, where – they had to punt because he made a great open field tackle, and he pried the ball out of A.J. Brown's hands on one of the final drives on the sideline. That was a huge play as well. So he probably needed another, like, 2 big plays to equal out the balance sheet, and because he didn't make them, you know, it's a negative day. But it's his second game in the scheme. You're playing against, to your point, a top 5 wide receiver in the NFL, in my opinion, bar none. So you're going to have days like that. I'm more concerned about the hammy and just making sure he's on the field, because most weeks you're not playing A.J. Brown. Like last week, the Saints didn't have anybody that threatened him. They didn't target the guy. This coming week against Atlanta, Drake London's okay, but Drake London does not have, you know, he's a 7 if A.J. Brown's a 10. So it's just more favorable matchups about 90% of weeks, I would say.
Yeah, Drake London, he did something to his hamstring yesterday too. He left the game, so I'm not sure if he'll go. So just kind of going forward to the Falcon game, I didn't watch much. I just saw highlights of the Falcons-Giants. The Giants have just given up. They're just an awful roster, an awful organization. So that was
They're gross,
yeah. I mean, so I wasn't surprised that Atlanta dominated them. I guess Penix played pretty well. The interception shouldn't have been his fault because Kyle Pitts kind of bobbled it and should have been a fumble. That's what I call those. But your thoughts of Washington against Atlanta on Sunday night?
Yeah, I went back just last night, watched a condensed game for the Falcons. Penix was very accurate and pretty in control. His first 2 passes of the game, I think, were actually dropped, funny enough, of his career as a, you know, first-time starter. So pretty easily could have had a pretty decent stat line. Never really threatened in terms of the end zone. They ran the ball really well in the red zone. Bijan had 2 touchdowns. And defensively, they had 2 pick sixes. So what I would say about Penix, as impressive as much as I liked him, it was a pretty much a free and easy game, right? I mean, it was like pitching with a 5-run lead the entire time. If they have to go get yards and points, and if they're down 10-3 and 13-7, there's more pressure. And so I think that's what Washington's going to have to do, is just put them in some, you know, unideal situations. The fact that they stopped Barkley like they did actually gives me some hope, because the Falcons are an excellent running team with Robinson. When he goes off the field, as you guys know, Tyler Algier comes on, and he is a handful as well. And the Commanders have just been so bad, largely, at stopping these teams that run the ball really well. I've kind of circled this game for several weeks as one that would be problematic defensively, but I wouldn't be surprised, depending on Drake London's status especially. You know, the Falcons' passing game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Deck your home with blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom markups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Has been so ineffective at making chunk plays down the field. If they did something similar to what they did in the second half, you know, against the Eagles, where I think Penix is a much more apt passer than Pickett. But, you know, if you said, okay, that's how you're going to have to beat us, and they just stacked the box and didn't let Bijan run. But to me, that's going to be the whole key, is slowing them down in that area and protecting the football, which Daniels has by and large done a really good job of. I think one thing we're not going to be talking about this week that needs to be mentioned at some point, because it was a tremendous performance and a great win, but he threw two bad interceptions, and yep, he hasn't had a single game all year where he threw two bad picks, middle of the field late like he did, or too high. And if you look at the numbers, I think it's now six interceptions in the last four games, something like that, mm-hmm, for a guy that wasn't throwing any picks early in the year. So he's been so good all season at not putting the ball in harm's way. And in these games like Atlanta, where you're going to open probably a 3.5-4 point favorite, certainly in a playoff game, that's going to be the difference between having a chance to let him steal a game as a playmaker and maybe being on the outside looking in the fourth quarter.
All right, GP, we got to run, man. Good stuff. Have a great show coming up at 2 o'clock.
Thanks, guys. See you. Yep.
It's Grant Paulson. Listen to him with our pal Danny on the Grant Danny Show coming up at 2 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.